Hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of The Clone Conspiracy, a podcast where we try to explain the history of Ben Reilly and just what the hell was going on with one of the most infamous comic storylines of all time, Spider-Man's The Clone Saga. I'm your host, Scott Free. I'm recording this in late February during what is potentially the worst blizzard that the northeastern United States has seen in decades, because, much like Ben Reilly, I'm beginning to suspect that the universe fucking hates depressed blonde men. We left off after the end of our last episode in the middle of the Power and Responsibility arc, and we're back today with part 3, Spider-Man number 51, with a cover date of October 1994. This issue has Howard Mackey on words and Tom Lyle on art, with Scott Hanna doing finishes, Star Kings on letters, Kevin Tinsley on colors, and Danny Fingeroth and Tom DeFalco as the book editor and the line editor, respectively. The cover, which is great, shows Ben in a street clothes but wearing the classic Spider-Man mask, gloves, and web shooters, and inexplicably on the cover, no shoes, swinging on a web line while a building burns behind him. The text reads, "At last, Spider-Man's clone swings into action to save the life of the original, dun dun dun." While the text in the top right corner, a triangle with text inside, proclaims, "Inside, Traveler triumphant." The issue opens with Ben still at the hospital by May's bedside. And you remember when we left off in our prior episodes, May has had a stroke. Now, we see Ben by her bedside. He's speaking to May's comatose, very just on her deathbed-looking body. "I wish you could hear me, Aunt May." "Or do I? What would you think if you saw my face? That I was your nephew, Peter Parker? You'd be wrong. I'm nobody. Oh, I may look like Peter, and even possess some of his memories. I'm a sham, a fake clone. I've stayed away from this city, this life, for years. I moved around, tried to push everything about Peter's life out of my mind. But there was always you. I didn't want to forget you. I even started calling myself Ben Reilly. Ben, after the memory of Uncle Ben, and Reilly was your maiden name. Thought myself pretty clever. Then you got sick. I had to come back." We get a recap then of Web of Spider-Man 117 and Amazing Spider-Man 394 with Chakra appearing. Peter followed her into danger toward Ravencroft. There was something about what she said. Something about the way Peter was acting. Something that makes me think that Peter Parker is going to die tonight. Now here I am, questioning what to do. Then we see a line from a heart monitor. "Hoping that you'll come out of your coma and make it all better, like the Aunt May of my, his memories. What do I do, Aunt May? If I don't act, Peter might die." Other heart monitor line. "Then once and for all, I can have the life I've been dreaming of for all these years. All I have to do is sit here, do nothing. And the memories, the life, all of it can be mine. It's not even a real question that I'm asking myself. I know what I have to do. It's what he would do. Bottom line, I am him. Essentially, you raised us both. I kept some mementos from the old days. Just couldn't let go of them. They, Spider-Man, were as much part of the life that could never be mine as you were, Aunt May." We then see Ben pull out a mask out of his bag and a pair of gloves, which he pulls on, climbs onto the windowsill. "Thank you, Aunt May. No matter what else happens, no matter who I am, if I die, if you die, the memories I have of you made my life. So that bit is always a gut punch. It's a really touching scene, and it serves two purposes narratively. First, we get to the core of Ben's dilemma in power and responsibility, and through the Clone Saga as a whole. He can do nothing, and Peter will die, leaving him as the only Peter Parker. Or, alternatively, he can listen to his heart, do the right thing, and save Peter. This is a tension that cuts through a lot of these situations in the Clone Saga, between Peter is in danger. But Ben, being Ben, this era, of course is going to do the right thing. Second, the scene also lets Ben say goodbye to Aunt May. He's not sure if he'll ever see her again. Hell, he's not sure that either of them will survive the day. But Ben has Peter's memories, and to Ben, May is the closest thing he has to a mother. Even if he knows that those weren't necessarily his quote-unquote memories, they are his formative memories. Aunt May is his mother. Uncle Ben was his father figure. It's really touching. Ben then swings out over the city while we cut back to Ravencroft, where Judas Traveler is observing a shackled Peter. This Spider-Man has proven a disappointment, Mr. Nacht. Is the other one on his way? And Judas's weird follower, Mr. Nacht, who's wearing a trench coat and a fedora, is standing behind him. Shaka believes so. Will you be greeting him, Traveler? No. Time enough for that later. For now, I will observe this one. There must be something more to him. The minds of the inmates gathered here were obsessed by him. I must understand his essence. Peter is bound with these sort of like high-tech chains and shackles. Ravencroft is where they host some of the most dangerous villains like Carnage and the Chameleon. And you get things that they've put him in the stuff that they use to restrain villains. Ben shows up to Ravencroft. It's surrounded, as we learned in a prior issue, by the sort of like fog, the sort of energy field that looks like a fog that the police and asylum workers are not able to get through. Ben, of course, is able to get through Traveler's spooky fog. It's called a barrier repeatedly, but it's just like glowing fog. Ben, once he's through the fog, instantly jumps in the air, avoiding a laser bolt as his spider sense goes off, and two of Judas Traveler's gang of annoying freaks appear, Madea and Boone. They're hard to describe. Madea looks kind of like Typhoid Mary from Daredevil and Deadpool, if Typhoid Mary was an extra in Susie the Banshee's video, while Boone has Gambit with Fabio hair thing going on. It's very 90s. She's wearing torn fishnets beneath a red bodysuit underneath Daisy Dukes with a big blue cape and a giant smoking laser gun, while he's got thigh-high hooker boots and a brown jacket and a bunch of pouches. It's very 90s. They're Traveler's tracker, as we learn. Boone is Traveler's tracker, while Madea is angry warrior. Her job isn't too well defined beyond being the, quote, warrior of the host, which, good for her. Somebody's got to do it. Paying job. Peter, meanwhile, is having a full-on mental breakdown, confronted by images of his greatest foes and his loved ones, including, interestingly, Ben. And the dialogue between imaginary Ben and Peter is interesting. Peter is hallucinating, freaking out. He's got his hands up. No, get away. I came here to escape all of you. I want peace. And then you see a hand on a shoulder with a class ring, and it's Ben's hand. There is no peace here, Spider-Man. Not for us. We have the power. We have the responsibility. Our friends, our family, everyone, they need us. We've tangled them all in the web of our life. Now we have to use our powers against them. Traveler is watching Peter have this freak out. He says, "What sort of man are you? What sort of man?" He's saying this to himself. Boone and Medea, meanwhile, track Ben through the asylum. There's a chase scene. While Peter's freak out then turns into a fight against the hallucinations of his rogues gallery. "The power and responsibility are mine," Peter yells, kicking imaginary Kraven right in his dumb goatee. "No, they're ours," the Ben hallucination yells, punching a guy in the balls. He's clearly just knocked a hallucination of Alistair Smythe down, but the sort of dynamic heart makes it look like he's just knocked him in the balls, which, to be fair, if you've ever encountered Alistair Smythe, is the correct reaction to dealing with Alistair Smythe and his stupid fucking spider slayers. We then get more imaginary dialogue with Ben looking on, imaginary Ben, I should say, looking on as imaginary Peter is fighting the Green Goblin. "Good for you, Spider-Man. Good for us. When the time is right, I'll be back. We will be whole once more. But until then, remember, with great power," Peter snaps out of his hallucination and finishes the phrase, "must come great responsibility." "You have emerged from your dance with madness," says Traveler. "Shall we proceed?" Then go back to Ben, who's dodging and weaving Medea's bolts. And Ben is having great doubts about his own skills and resolve. Don't remember, he's been on the road for 5 years, largely avoiding, until the past couple months, use of his powers. And this is all in thought bubbles. "I've got to get out of here. It was a mistake ever coming back, believing I could. With great power, must come great responsibility." Don't know where that came from. Been a long time since that thought popped into my head, but things are a little clearer now. Even if I could get away, was willing to sacrifice Spider-Man's life, I can't leave the likes of these two running loose. Real memories or not, this is who I am. This is all I know. And he decks Boone in the face and in the stomach. Boone's 90s cool guy glasses fly off. It all comes back so easily. Reflexes are still there. Memories of dozens of fights, which I never fought. I can do this. He's knocked out. Boone and webbed into a wall. Medea then shows up. She just comes up and kicks Ben right in the gut and goes, "She's fast and strong. Well, and I'm rustier than I thought." She starts to just wail on Ben. Ben notes again that he's a bit rusty, but after hemming and hawing about Medea being a woman, because don't forget, this is a comic in 1994. It still has the very strong gender roles, and it's very much, "Oh, I'm not going to hit a woman." Ben just keeps getting punched in, like, the arms. She rips off part of his mask, exposing his mouth. He just goes, "All right, gotta defeat them, no matter what," and just absolutely decks her in the face. And, like, cold clocks her. It's really funny. I think it's unintentionally funny. It's supposed to be Ben, again, 1994, really hesitating with fighting this superpowered woman who is wailing on it. And he finally just goes, "Oh, okay, yeah," and just cold clocks it. It's unintentionally funny. Peter then snaps his bonds and dives a Traveler, who easily catches him by the throat. It's a great sequence. Peter saying, "Well, get out of my head, get out," and snaps, you know, these bonds that are designed to restrain characters like Carnage and Mr. Hyde. And he bursts through a window and right at Traveler, and Traveler just snatches him out of the air. Now, I want to emphasize again that this is before the retcons with Traveler come into place. As we've discussed, Judas Traveler is very ill-defined as a character, particularly early on. They subsequently retcon that he is essentially just an illusionist, similar to the X-Men's Mastermind, although he believes he is all-powerful, unlike Mastermind. Here, as for the readers and the writers at the time, he's ill-defined, and as far as they know, he is powerful enough to snatch an enraged Spider-Man out of midair and seemingly choke slam him. But before he can choke slam Spidey, Ben, being Ben, slips in the back and kicks Judy Traveler in the back of the knee. Judas turns his head and he's got glowing red eyes. "What is this? We have company. I have been expecting you, Ben." And we get a great shot of Ben helping Peter up. Peter in the full Spider-Man costume, Ben with the mask torn and the gloves. He points at Judas. "I'm taking him out of here. Move aside. Now." "No, I am afraid that is not going to happen. Not just yet." And the final image is a cackling Judas Traveler, his eyes glowing, yellow energy coming out of the red eyes, and a sort of sadistic grin under his Fu Manchu mustache, and then teases, "Power and Responsibility" concludes in Spectacular Spider-Man 217. And that's the issue. It's the fastest moving issue of Power and Responsibility. The prior two issues are building up to this. This is a very action heavy issue. There is not a lot of plot revelations. The Clone Saga is very plot reveal heavy. This is a very compact issue that advances the Ben struggling with his identity plot and his issues with Aunt May, feelings towards Aunt May. But overall, it's very action-oriented, particularly with regards to the Ravencroft scenes. And we got some great action between Ben and Medea and Boone. There's Peter struggling against the imaginary visions of his villains. The constant theme of power and responsibility is hammered home. Ben is willing to step up and accept the power and responsibility that comes with being who he is, a being of great power, and with the lessons that Aunt May and Uncle Ben taught Peter, and by extension, Ben, while Peter is coming back into being Peter Parker and Spider-Man as one. It's the embrace of power and responsibility, and that you can't step away if that's who you are. And that's all for this episode of The Clone Conspiracy. I will see you next time for Spectacular Spider-Man 217 and the end of the Power and Responsibility arc, the opening arc of the Clone Saga. Bye.